Plum Love Foods Live. Serious chef talk. Chef Plum.
I was a pro wrestler and a Laser Quest champion.
Chef Jeff.
People like me a lot.
Chef Dan.
Man, all that hard seltzer, man, got me bench pressing Yorkies.
Chef Rob.
I'm bougie.
The Hulkster.
Brother, I was at Arby's scarfing down a chicken cordon bleu.
Chef Dave.
I don't have AIDS, I have Lyme disease. It's different.
Plum Love Foods Live every Thursday at 10 p.m. on Spreaker Radio and podcasted everywhere.
I have no idea why people listen to this.
This collection of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
Fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Welcome to Plumber Foods Live, number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your knees on claws. Here are the Good Brothers.
Oh, yeah. It's Thursday night, Jeffy. It's been a long day, but we're still doing this. Man, what a fun show we got tonight, you guys. I'm super excited. Tonight, joining us on the program is our good friend, meteorologist Ashley Baylor. It's always fun to find someone smarter than us to talk to, isn't it, Jeffy? I tend to disagree. I think I'm brilliant. I tell my wife every day, look how brilliant I am. I don't think she believes it. Like, she kind of usually just keeps doing whatever she's doing. But I do say it, and that's what matters, Jeffy. It's the thought that counts, so I'm trying really hard. Then I would have to remove the other tape that constantly tells her how much I'm the best in the world as she's sleeping. It's very subliminal. Maybe it's weird. Yeah, I guess so. Plus, our good friend Chef Michelle Ragusa is changing the world. She's going to join us here in just a couple of seconds to talk about what she's got going on. But Jeffy, what a long day we've had. Hopefully, first I want to say thank you to everybody. The astronomical amount of views that we've gotten on the very, very first episode of Elite Chef. It aired on Facebook, and in a matter of, Jeff, 3 days, we were at over 30,000 views. Hundreds of shares. Honestly, the feedback has been tremendous. So thank you all for just supporting it and checking it out, man. It means a lot to us, Jeff. Yeah, it's going to get better and better, and trust me, we're a couple episodes ahead of you guys. We shot the fourth episode today, and it's a doozy. I can't wait for you to see it. Tomorrow, we're going to be at Eli's in Branford, Connecticut, Eli's Brick Hamden, right? Yeah, Eli's Brick in Hamden. And it's a pizza episode, and we're really excited about it. Came out fantastic. Each one of the chefs on this episode, we told them to bring their own secret ingredient in, and boy, does it get a little hairy. Man, it's 100% a lot of fun, and I'm super stoked for everyone to see it. I'm getting worried we're having a little bit of an issue on audio, but I can fix that very quickly. It's going to be – listen, here's the thing. The whole thing basically is a branded content piece for this particular restaurant group. But I give them a lot of credit, Jeff, because they actually, are wanting to support other chefs, which I think is super – it's just awesome that they want to support outside chefs, right?
Absolutely. It's amazing that they got behind this project and that they are supporting not only chefs, but also their other brands. Like, all these chefs come from other restaurants, and they just believe in the fact of pushing talent. I think that's amazing.
Absolutely, man. Well, I'm excited for you guys to see it tomorrow, 9 a.m. Make sure you check out Stay tuned to the Facebook page. It's one of the best places to see content. That's where this is at. You can watch it, share it, like it. Please, please, please. It makes your boys look good. It helps us out, so we appreciate that. But speaking of chefs coming together, Jeff, I mean, there's terrible things happening in the world, and one of the most terrible things going on in the world right now, and maybe we can ask our friend Ashley about it later, but it's what's going on in Australia. Our good sister, man. Chef Michelle, was really, really touched by everything that's happened in Australia, being the animal lover that she is, and so am I. But she decided to try to do something about it and try to unite chefs, our chef friends, bring us all together to see what we can do to help. And right now, Michelle is joining us here for a few minutes just to talk about what's going on. Hey, you, what's happening?
Going on, you guys. Thanks for having me.
Always. You know, we always have a lot of fun when you're here. And it's always, we love you very much and what you're doing. I mean, honestly, I remember being on the phone with you talking about this Australia thing, and you were really torn up by it.
I mean, you guys, I laid in bed, and if I saw one more koala burning, I couldn't even handle it. I, like, literally started crying, and I had to do something. I was really feeling extremely helpless and, like, sat back thinking, and you know, Plum, I was talking to you, like, I don't know what to do, but I have to do something.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, the only way I could do anything, the only thing I have to give is I can cook and I have time. I don't have money, and I'm not a Bill Gates, so what can I do? Oh, but I have chef friends and a lot of them.
Right.
And so literally I just sat and wrote all my friends and said, would you be on board with I don't really know what, but I'm going to put something together. And the amount of people that said yes was really just amazing. And so it kind of morphed into, let's make a platform for chefs to raise awareness so that, you know, people can still see their favorite celebrity chefs and their reality chefs, and we can still keep it a little light, but bringing awareness and hopefully money through food. And so far, everyone's like, you know, sending books and knives and videos, and the response in 6 days has been incredible. I mean, we were in a magazine or a newspaper in Australia already, and a magazine here, and
wow.
And just really great followers, and brands started following us today. So I think if we all stick together, I always say it, I mean, I think we've changed the world through food, and this is just a way to do it, to keep awareness constant. You know, it's not just like Australia, it's not just natural disaster, but it's human disaster. There's opioid crises and education and racism, and I want to tackle all of it, and I think we all have the power to do it through food.
Food's a very powerful thing. We talk about it all the time. I remember sitting with you this summer in the Hamptons just talking about how powerful it can be and how it brings people together, and what an amazing a thing to do to make happen. You've got some great chefs tag teaming up with you here. Who are some of the people who have reached out or you've reached out to and are on board?
Well, you two handsome boys, first of all.
Handsome boy and Jeffy.
Go ahead.
Keep it at handsome boys. So the first day, Lorena Garcia jumped on. Like, she was the first one on.
Wow.
Like, in 5 minutes, her people wrote me, and they were like, what's your address? Book is on the way. So I got the book. Nathan Lyon, he was on Food Network Star, is on board. Brian Duffy, Monique Chowan's on board. Chloe's Fruit Pops are on board. And then chefs, I mean, they're up and down. They're like Top Chefs and Food Network chefs and regular chefs. You know, the funny thing is, the first night we put it up, the next day I got a message, and it was a young kid. I'm assuming he was young. And he said, I don't mean to be antagonistic, but where was this page when the Panama City hurricane or earthquake hit? And I literally wrote, one, I didn't know about the Panama City. I knew nothing about it. So that was another reason that I really want this page, because we want to be aware of things.
Totally.
But he writes me and he says, I was like, look, I'm just a little old chef gathering all my chef friends to try and make a difference. And so he wrote back and said, thank you so much for writing back. I'm a line cook in Panama and just nobody has paid attention. So I said, do me a favor, send me your favorite food or your favorite recipe and a video, and we'll get you on the site and we'll get you some recognition. And so then it just started to be, this is a platform for everyone. It's not just celebrity chefs. It's people who want to cook and share recipes and, like, bring a little light to the doom that's happening, but still be aware of the doom and what we could do together. And hopefully the end result is that we start throwing dinners all over the country, and we all raise money and just really, you know, go into schools, teach kids how to cook, talk about being a chef, whatever we can do to raise awareness and bring light into a really dark place right now.
It's one step at a time, you know. I mean, Rome wasn't built in a day, not to say a stupid cliche, but it's the truth, and it takes time to build it, and I think you're setting some serious groundwork here for something that can be very, very special, Michelle, and we all have a lot of admiration for you doing that, and I know it's not an easy thing to do, and it always, especially, and I know you very well, and you're sitting there staring at the computer all day long going, why is this taking so long? I want it to happen right now, but you're showing a lot of great patience and building it and setting some groundwork for something really special, so we are all very proud of you as chefs. We're very proud to call you our friend. We're so impressed by what you're doing. And as you know, we all want to support and help any way we possibly can.
Oh, don't make me cry, Plum. Thank you so much. But you can get me a cool. Let's just go back to one thing, Plum. You did, if you remember, in Texas, come running like someone was being killed to grab me so that I got to hold a wallaby and diaper.
That's true. I did do that. I had fun in Texas with you. We had a great time. But yes, there was a guy there with animals, and he was about to leave, and I basically jumped in front of his car and said, look, don't make me pull you out the car. And he was like, oh, what? I was like, don't move. Be right back. I gotta grab my friend. And I came running in to find Michelle, and I found her, and I literally had a look on my face as if someone had done something terrible. I was like, you have to come with me right now.
I know. I was about to go on the podcast. I looked at the guy. I went, I'm sorry. I gave him his headphones. I was like, I'll be right back. And so those little animals are burning. Those beautiful things that we were like loving. And that's what I can't stand for. Not to mention, people can't even go outside of their house in Sydney. And another thing, I don't think that people are understanding how much this is going to affect everybody. It's not just there. It's going to the ice cap. It's going everywhere. It's just really...
It's not only displaced all these animals, right, Michelle? It's also displaced like thousands and thousands and thousands of people, like you know,
families,
the whole areas are burned.
Up,
I mean, almost a million hectares or whatever they're called.
I think it's like 14 million now, and like 500.
Jesus,
yeah,
it's so sad.
Animals. You guys, I was thinking one day, I was literally like, if this keeps going, they're not even going to have, can you imagine if everything burned? Where do they get their food? They have no food. Plants are burning, their trees are burning, their animals are dying. I mean, people are shooting their own animals, so they're not
super
burning.
Super sad. Listen, I get a lot of lamb from Australia, shipped directly from it, from a farm, Montanay. You know, my heart goes out to everyone there, you know, but I get it. It's like, it's so sad. And there's so much food that comes from Australia to the rest of the world. You know, that's a big deal.
Well, people are probably listening and checking this out and wondering how they can help. And I tell you what, the best thing, the easiest thing you can do to help right now is to go on Instagram and follow Chefs for Disaster Relief. That's Chefs for Disaster Relief on Instagram, and of course check out the Facebook page as well. There's going to be a lot of great recipes, a lot of great chefs giving tips on there. And once we hit 500 followers, right, Michelle, you're gonna do your first auction or your first giveaway on the page.
And we're almost, today was really crazy because we're over 400 right now. I woke up at 370, so it's like four something right now. Today was a really good day, and we're gonna give our first giveaway. And then the whole plan is to all the chef knives and everything that all of you wonderful chefs are donating, we are going to give away to people who donate. So we'll pick a random person that day at the end of the day when we put up a link. And whoever donates, we're just going to pick a random. Doesn't matter how much you donate. And we're going to give a chef book, a signed chef book or a spice packet or a chef knife or T-shirts and hats. And we got a lot of fun stuff coming. So we're going to keep this going.
Man, that's awesome. Listen, you are... I love the passion. I love, you know, we love you, of course, but I love that this is becoming a thing, and I'm so excited for you. I can't wait to see where it goes. I can't wait to be a part of it. I mean, Jeffy, that's what's important here when you have stuff like this. People with passion can do a lot of things.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. People with passion and people with direction, people with a plan. You know, I mean, that's what you need. You just need a plan. You need someone to take a stand like Michelle and for people to get behind her, and I can't think of a better person I'd like to get behind. So, I mean, let's do this.
Absolutely. Michelle, we love you very much. Thank you for doing all the hard work you're doing. Again, listen, you know you got the Good Brothers here if you need us. We're here.
Absolutely.
I'll be calling both of you. I want recipes tomorrow.
Recipes tomorrow. Heard. Yes, chef.
Okay. Love you guys.
All right. Thanks, Michelle. Back. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, honey. Bye-bye.
See ya. There she goes. Make sure, again, you check it out, Chefs for Disaster Relief. The biggest thing you can do to help is follow that, Jeff. And listen, we, you know, I know you make jokes, but even like you said, like, these animals are displaced. These animals are getting just completely destroyed. But, you know, people are getting hurt down there, too. And I don't think people realize how big these fires are. It's tremendous.
Yeah, it's tremendous, and it's really scary. You know, I mean, it's really scary. I mean, just when California was on fire like that, like, imagine it like just multiplying all over the country, you know, right. And places just like burning and burning and burning. And, right. And like, you know, that's that. I would hate to be a child in that, you know, environment, you know, that's got to be pretty frightening.
I mean, I think it's something like 30% of the country. We will ask Ashley because she's super smart. She might know more about this, but
thank God.
Yeah. Thank God we got the smart people, right?
Love smart people.
Yeah. But anyway, make sure you check her out. Follow Michelle. Follow Chefs for Disaster Relief. Sorry, I had my head moved away from the microphone. Chefs for Disaster Relief. The best thing you can do to help is follow and be a part of it. And like I said, it's a great person trying to make some things happen. And look, there's going to be some big things. I mean, once it gets built, you got to lay those first groundworks. You got to put that foundation in, Jeffy, before you can make the building super tall. And that's what she's doing now.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Lay a good foundation, and you know, you could. There's no telling how big it could get. You
That's
know,
right.
It's like
absolutely. Check it out, ladies and gentlemen. We're gonna take a quick breather, and when Jeffy and I come back, it's gonna be all about food, weather, traffic, and really cool people. Our good friend Ashley Baylor has joined the program, and I can't wait to tell you guys how. When I first met Ashley, I thought her and I were gonna be best friends forever. Stay right there. I'm Chef Plum, Chef Jeff. We'll be right back. Hang tight, guys. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live. Be right back.
It's new. It's improved. It's powdered water.
Powdered water. Our team of scientists and water specialists have toiled many long hours to develop a complicated and proprietary formula. But the wait is over. Powdered water is here. It's totally organic. Gluten-free. Gluten-free. It's cleaner than Lake Manitoba. Powdered water. We took powdered water to the streets of New York City.
To New York City.
And let some lucky people try powdered water.
I don't get it. Do I sniff it?
Powdered water.
So I add it to my water and it makes it taste better.
Powdered water.
Powdered water is amazing. I can feel the difference now. Wow. Wait. Wow.
Was that good?
Just read it.
Powdered water.
Powdered water may cause fits of hysteria, hip dysplasia, hypertension, restless leg syndrome, lupus, loss of toes, AIDS, insomnia, demonic possession, but in some cases,
it makes me awesome.
A sizzle plate product.
Oh yeah, Dave. Ergo Chef Knives. The knives used by so many culinary professionals, including all of us here on the program.
From the entry-level Prodigy series to the super sharp Shinzui made from Japanese V10 steel, Ergo Chef has something for everyone.
Hey, listen, every single day I use my Pro Series Santuco and I love it, man. You've seen my knife bag, haven't you? I mean, I've got like three of them in there. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word is not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Love Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM, that's ErgoChef.com. Coming back live right here on Plum Love Foods Live on a Thursday in January. Man, it's 2020. It's New Year's, Jeff. I can't believe it. I'm kind of blown away. Did Christmas already happen?
Yeah, it was a couple weeks ago, bro.
Wow. That happened quick. I don't know. Maybe it's something in my brain. The world's just spinning very fast these days.
Dude, because we have a lot going on. It's like it's a nonstop hustle, you know, between family, work, side hustle. The show, I mean, everything's kind of happening all at once. It's really awesome. And it makes time fly. Well,
the best part is you're still going to sit here on Thursday nights and do this program. And tonight, our featured guest is a person who I met it was probably a couple months ago when I was at a TV studio here in Connecticut. doing a piece on the local news. And, you know, there's certain people you meet, and when you meet them, you connect with them. And she's super smart. She's fantastic. She's a great mom. She's a great meteorologist. And more importantly, she's really fun to talk to. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, please say hello to our new friend of the program. Hopefully, I think I want to ask her to become our resident meteorologist here on Plum Love Foods Live, Jeff. That's the plan. Say what's up to our new friend, Ashley Baylor. Ash, good evening. Thanks for staying up so late with us. We really appreciate it.
It's okay. I just took a brief nap.
Like just now?
Brief nap before I came to join you guys.
Well, we're super excited to have you on here. And, you know, we had to get our friend Michelle on because her what she's working on, the Chefs for Disaster Relief, is so important. So we had to get her on to talk about it. But, I mean, literally, is all of Australia on fire?
You know, a lot of it is, unfortunately, and I think the more infuriating part is a lot of people don't realize that there were 24 people arrested for arson associated with these fires. So, I don't know if they, as arson, you think of intentional setting, and that's what's so infuriating is that this didn't have to happen. But of course, you're talking, it's summer down there, and so you got temperatures that, you know, closing on 90, 95, 100 degrees during the day. So you just got the searing heat during the day, which just makes it very, very tough for them to battle. Even at night, sometimes it's only getting down to about 80 degrees. So that's what makes it very, very tough.
Unbelievable. Man. So you guys joined tonight by our friend Ashley Baylor. You can catch her if you're listening, watching news here in Connecticut, where I live. You can check her out on WTNH. She is working god-awful hours in the morning. It's not even really morning. She goes to work at night still. And, of course, on the weekend, doing a fantastic show on the weekend news. It seems like you work every day, don't you?
I mean, I get my Mondays and Tuesdays off, which is fine.
Awesome.
You got, like, chef hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I suppose that's true. But it totally works, you know, with the daycare schedule. I only need part-time for daycare. So it works, you know.
All right. Good times. Now, where are you originally from?
Boy, you know, I consider myself originally from Massachusetts just because I was a military brat growing up. So okay. I moved around a lot, but Massachusetts is where we kind of ended up settling down, and that's where I lived the longest. So I consider myself from Massachusetts, but if you want to get technical, I was born in Biloxi, Mississippi.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So Mississippi.
You don't keep the Southern right. So Southern girl, huh? Because I'm a Southern girl myself, and I hold true to my Southern roots.
You're definitely more of a debutante than I am. Oh, yes.
Okay.
I mean, your hair is way higher than mine, and so that's what it takes to be a Southern debutante. The higher the hair, the closer to God.
Oh.
Whoa. I don't think anyone's ever called Plum that.
That's true. Listen, I don't know about that. I've seen on your Instagram at meteorologist Ash Baylor on Instagram, I've seen your hair being pretty high sometimes, too.
I work on it, yeah. Yeah, it takes a lot of teasing in the morning. Gives me a fight every now and then.
That's
but
awesome.
I come out on top.
Well, how did you end up in Connecticut? Because here you are. We met. I can't wait to tell you the story when I knew we were going to be best friends. I'm going to tell that in a minute after we get to how you got here.
You know, I've been a meteorologist for 13 years now. And so being a meteorologist, you don't usually just stay in one place. You kind of move all over. So I actually started my career in New York City, which is kind of a rarity, but I started as a freelance weather producer at New York One and Fox oh, wow. 5, where your buddy Ryan Christopher is now.
That's your brother.
Yes, and News 12 Connecticut. And then I moved to Eau Claire, Wisconsin for my first full-time on-air gig. Then I moved back to Massachusetts. Then I was like, I'm kind of over Massachusetts for a little bit. So I went down to Virginia, down the Virginia Beach area for four years. And now I'm back up here because I think you're a New Englander at heart and it never goes away. And as much as you try and make another place home, there is no home like New England.
Yeah.
It's forever new.
You know, I've lived up here for the majority of my adult life. I grew up in Richmond, Virginia, actually, is where I'm from. I'm very familiar with where you were in Virginia Beach. I used to go fishing there with a good brother of mine who went to college at Old Dominion. And I spent a lot of time in Virginia Beach. And it's funny because, you know, I think I wasn't born and raised here, but now that I've been here, I don't think I could ever leave. Like, it kind of sucks you in, you know?
It does. I mean, down in Virginia, I really thought that was going to be it for me because I was, you know, born and raised in the South, really. And then living up in Massachusetts, and I thought, well, I could live in Virginia Beach, which is just kind of between the two. It's between North and South. And it just never felt like home. I wanted to be able to pick up and go to a Red Sox game, pick up and go to a Patriots game. And I really missed being with my, you know, friends up here. I missed the good times. Unfortunately, I missed the bad times. I missed the sad times when I really needed to be there for them. Right. And I really didn't make a lot of friends in Virginia, even though the people down there are super friendly. It's just, there's a difference. Like, didn't your click. Family up here, your friends up here for life.
Yeah, it just doesn't click, you know. I get that.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I don't know if I agree. I think Virginia's a terrible place.
Oh,
I think the driving laws are awful.
Jesus.
You think Virginia's a okay. Well, here's the thing. Is like, I don't mind Virginia, but I get a lot of people that ask, well, don't you miss it? You know, the weather's so much nicer. It's like, well, the weather could be nicer, but if I had to sit in Virginia traffic for one more day, I was actually going to lose it. I really was, because the traffic down there is horrendous.
That's 64
and
East
anybody
is garbage.
That ever wants to complain about tolls in Connecticut, go to Virginia if you want to complain about tolls, because it is absurd down there.
Oh my
I mean,
God.
People pay $80 to $90 a month in tolls just to go through a tunnel from Norfolk to Portsmouth. It's insane.
It's very
it's insane.
Expensive.
And they're crash magnets, too. Not to mention, it takes 30 seconds to go through a tunnel, but it will inevitably attract 20 crashes a day.
I love your math. Like, you got it all figured out. Like, this is what it does. This is how many crashes happen.
Because I'd often be sitting outside of a tunnel. Are you kidding me?
Well, and God forbid you get 3 speeding tickets in one day. They threaten to take you to jail there.
Did you say in one day?
I got to tell you a quick story. So I never, ever got a speeding ticket. Never.
Okay.
And so when I go to Virginia, I ended up with 2 speeding tickets. One, I was on some back road. I was paying attention to something going on weather-wise. Like, I was looking at the clouds or something, and sure enough, cop pulls up by me. I was going all of 12 miles an hour over. In Connecticut, they wouldn't look twice at you for 12 miles an hour over, and they wouldn't in Massachusetts either. So I got a ticket for that. Second time I got a speeding ticket in Virginia, my next-door neighbor calls me in a panic at 8 in the morning. I'm walking the dog. And she says, I think I left my hair straightener on. Can you drive out to Virginia Beach, get my house key, go back to my house and see if my straightener's off? I said, oh, you're lucky I like you.
Wow.
So I drove
you're a good friend.
The half hour Whoa. Out to Virginia Beach to go get her house key. Grab your house key. I'm on the way back, and I allegedly drove through a school zone. You know, they usually have the flashing lights when it changes to school zone. And it was 9 in the morning at that point. I said, I didn't see any flashing lights, but I got pulled over. And so I'm trying to do this good deed. I get pulled over. He says, do you know you were doing 35 or 40 and a 35? I said, okay. He's like, but the yellow lights are flashing. So it drops to 25 miles an hour. So you're doing 40 and a 25 in a school zone. So I said, okay. So he gives me a ticket, and I get home. Stinking straightener isn't even plugged in.
Come on.
So I got a hefty speeding ticket because she thought she left. $161 speeding ticket.
Wow.
That
well, so you know what it is in Virginia for every...
And I was in a technical school zone, so it's like, I'm not going to win this one.
I think so. In Virginia, for every ticket, state troopers actually get, I don't know, convicted is the right word, but actually gets paid or whatever, they get like $60 or something. So that's why they all try to give you tickets.
Oh, goody. I hear you can't drive through Emporia, which is 95 north and south
yep.
of Virginia. I hear Emporia is where they nail people all the time for speeding.
Look, it's hysterical that we're sitting here talking about traffic in Virginia, and I'm like, I know what you're talking about, and I agree, but I'm sure Jeff's ready to pull his hair out.
No, I allegedly got 3 speeding tickets driving through Virginia, and then they tried to squeeze me with some sort of like weird like lawyer and threats from the police and like all this weird stuff.
What?
Yeah, man, Virginia, man, they're like the Southern Mafia. I'm pretty sure it's run by the Klan. I don't know. I mean, allegedly, these are the things I've heard.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Honestly, Ashes, let me ask you. Let me just digress a little bit to get back on track after our traffic conversation. I think, listen, when I first moved to Connecticut, I said they couldn't drive worth a shit up here, but that's my own personal opinion.
I think they tailgate a lot up here.
It's just, it doesn't make any sense. Like, just stop it.
I think because I lived in Virginia, I don't think the traffic's that bad up here.
Well, I work in New York City, and I drive in New York City a lot, and honestly, it just makes me crazy. Like, these people don't know how to go over 45 in a highway. It makes me crazy.
Oh, well, that could be. I remember driving in New York City, but I do it in kind of odd hours. You know, I do it super early in the morning, so right. maybe it never bothered me again as much.
How did you get into doing weather? How did that happen in your life?
I've wanted to be a meteorologist since I was about 9. And now I'm 36 for those playing the home game. I went through, I won't say the remnants, but when Hurricane Andrew hit Southern Florida in 1992, I was living in Charleston, South Carolina. So obviously we got some of the outer bands associated with Hurricane Andrew. And I remember we got terribly flooded down there. And because I was young and we lived across from a pond where there were gators, I was thinking, oh my gosh, we're going to have gators in our streets. Yeah. It's going to come right up to the door. So it was just so flooded down there. And I remember being glued to the TV, just watching the coverage of Hurricane Andrew. And I became just so fascinated by hurricanes and tropical activity. And that continued. I mean, I used to actually clip newspaper articles for every hurricane that would develop. And I mean, that's kind of how we did it back in the day, was the newspaper articles. I remember even Hurricane Felix in 95 that stalled off North Carolina. I would cut every newspaper article out about that. So I just always grew up with the fascination for weather. And, you know, all these years later, made it happen, made it work.
So, but when you go to school for weather, there's a ton of science involved and actually, there I mean, because in learning it, right?
There is, you know, you really start with the basics. You start with physics and calculus, and you take several years of that. You know, people don't realize that is that you start basic, like physics and calculus. That's the base of all of it.
You said calculus.
And, yes.
What? Wait, physics is this calculus. Where in the world we use calculus?
Yes, this Whoa. Is where it comes in, and then it evolves into something even more complicated called differential equations.
What?
Yeah. A thing, and trust me, I've seen some of the smartest people struggle through that class, and so
I struggle with those words.
I didn't have to take it, but I've seen other people take it. I said, no way, my GPA would have been right through the floor.
Jesus, now where'd you go to school?
I went to UAlbany.
Okay, so you came back up here to go to school, or you were up here going to school?
Yeah, I was living in Massachusetts, so it was only 2 hours out to UAlbany, and they had a very good meteorology program. And while I was there, they developed a specific broadcast meteorology program. So I was actually, I think I was the first female, I believe, and I might check myself, but I think I was the first female actually to graduate as a broadcast meteorologist from UAlbany.
Oh, wow. So it's actually like a broadcast meteorology.
Me, but I argue that all the time because I think my class was the first one. There were only five of us actually in the broadcast meteorology program. There were others in the atmospheric science program.
Right.
Technically, they're a little smarter than me. I'm going to full disclosure. So, because they took that differential equations class. So, yeah, I graduated with a broadcast meteorology degree. And there's not much that separates us from an atmospheric science degree. You know, I basically just took the classes that wouldn't kill my GPA. I didn't take differential equations. I didn't take thermodynamics. So we did a lot that not only was science-based, but also went into the broadcast world.
So you actually had like some classes and like being in front of a camera and learning how to speak in front of a camera and that sort of stuff.
I learned more of that in my internship, but we did have to take, you know, acting classes, voice classes, not specifically in front of a camera, but yes, we did have to take voice classes, which honestly was probably been my most hated class in my entire college career.
Why'd you hate voice classes?
Because the teacher hated us. That's why. Anyone that was a broadcast meteorology student in that class, because we all had to take it, it was a requirement.
Yeah,
she hated us. So that's why I did not like that class.
Well, I think one of the things that you do really well when you're on air is you're incredibly likable. Like, you come across very, very likable.
Well, thanks, buddy.
No, it's the truth. I mean, and it's not always an easy thing to do, and not everybody can do it. Like, when you watch someone who isn't, like, you listen to them and you're whatever. But, like, when you come on, you're very likable. You're very, specific is the wrong word, but you make it sound like it's not a big deal, which is awesome. Like, it's just, it's like I said, it's likable is the best way I can describe it. And I don't know, is that just always kind of been your personality, or is it, you know, is it something that you taught, like you worked on that, like you noticed that? It's a weird question. I know. I mean, listen, I worked for the Hallmark Channel for a while, and they told me I had to watch my shit, and they told me I had crutch words, everything. It was a mess. But so they made you rewatch it, so it kind of helps you the more you see it. I don't know. I guess that's kind of where I'm going. Like, do you have to rewatch yourself to get better like that?
I don't like watching myself, so I actually try and avoid doing it. I mean, everybody has crutch words. I had my chief meteorologist when I was in Wisconsin. He would point out what my crutch words were. And the more you pay attention to it, and if you retain it, that's great, because you don't make those mistakes over and over again. You know, I try and be likable on air. I think one place viewers are very perceptive. They can tell who is authentic on air
totally.
And off air. They can tell when you're putting on a show and you're probably not really that way off air. And I try to really be the same way off air and on air. Now, there are certain things. I think the viewers that watch me, they know sometimes I hold back a little bit. Like, I'm actually holding back the sarcasm a little more than I'd like to. But that's about it. I mean, I'm not a hype person. I mean, in the world of weather, hype has unfortunately become a thing. You have a lot of these armchair meteorologists on Facebook that want to hype everything and put all their money on the Euro model and worst case scenario. And I can't do that. It's not in my nature, and it's not my job to panic people. You know, my job is to talk you off a ledge and be like, we'll get through this. I mean, we've been through horrible storms before, and totally. We'll get through it. And I'm going to be here with you to get through it together. You know, we'll be all right.
I love that. That's a great way to put it. Jeffy, let's get some plugs That's out awesome. There for Ashley.
Absolutely. You want to check her out. You want to see more about what's going on in her life and what's going on in her career. Meteorologist Ash Baylor on Instagram. Meteorologist Ash_Baylor on Twitter. And, of course, you can check her on News 8 at 8 a.m. every weekend, where she'll be laying out some weather for you.
And, of course, during the week, dropping that traffic news and throwing the occasional weather tip in there, too, right?
That's
yeah,
right, 4:30 a.m.
Yeah, while Laura Hutchinson's out on maternity leave, Alyssa is filling in for her, so I'm filling in for Alyssa. So Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, I will be doing traffic from 4:30 in the morning until 8 o'clock, and then I'll be doing weather at noon, and then, yes, I do weekend mornings. And why is the cat? What is your problem right now? Now I got the animals in here.
They're upset at you. Do you use the cat?
The problem is I have Siamese, and they need to be in the conversation at all times.
You use the cats to predict the weather. You ask them, and they meow. Meow twice if it's going to snow. I think one of the things I thought was very kind of interesting in what you just said right there is, you don't hype anything. And I feel like when you watch the weather, every year it's something new. And I feel like this year the new thing is we all say snow squalls. Like, no one said snow squalls last year. Why is that a fucking thing now?
Well, it's actually always been a thing, but very recently the National Weather Service came up with a new warning called the snow squall warning. So that's probably why you might be hearing it a little bit more this year, is just because of that new warning. But they've always been around. Snow squalls, you get a good one when you get that lake effect snow that comes off of Lake Ontario and brings it all the way here, that northwest wind. Yeah, you can get some pretty decent snow squalls. Absolutely, that can cause whiteout conditions very, very briefly, drop visibility, even a couple inches on the ground. Luckily, we haven't had anything that dramatic, but what's been really cool about them is if you're high up enough and you see these squalls coming, they make really cool shots for any amateur photographers. Josh Chase, you want to chime in about it? Good grief. So that's probably why you've just been hearing it more this year and last year.
Yeah, it just feels like a thing. I feel like every year there's a new term we now use. Like, I remember when nor'easter became a thing. Like, I had never heard nor'easter. And
no?
No. I mean, maybe it's because I was from Virginia. I don't know. But when I moved up here.
You get them in Virginia, but Richmond, Virginia, you probably wouldn't hear about it as often.
Yeah, I mean, that's just...
You know, Polar Vortex kind of came out and made its appearance a few years ago. There was something before that that I remember people were going crazy about.
Wow.
Every year, there's just a new weather term.
So what's your favorite type of weather? Besides, like a hurricane? Are you a snow person? Like, what do you think is more fun to predict and talk about?
Well... I live and breathe for tropical activity. I live and breathe for hurricanes, just because that's where I started my love of weather, was with hurricanes. So I wouldn't call them easy to predict, that's for sure. I mean, hurricanes truly have a mind of their own. And over the past years with, the advanced models that we have now, it's incredible that they've become slightly more easy to predict. We're able to close in that kind of cone of uncertainty and hone in on what areas can be affected. But it's just, it's never going to be a perfect science. And, you know, you witnessed that with Irma. You know, they evacuated Miami because they were sure that Irma was going to hit Miami. Then all of a sudden skirted right across the Keys and went actually up the west coast of Florida. So, well, forget that. And, you know, even Hurricane Harvey, that went from a tropical depression to a Category 4 hurricane within 48 hours, which is just incredible.
It's scary.
So that's what I love about hurricanes is how almost unpredictable they are. And I think I just am a crazy person. I love trying to predict unpredictable.
I mean, that's awesome. Could you be a, you should be a tornado chaser. Could you do that?
I would prefer not to.
Oh, you don't like those. Okay.
I mean, it's the problem with tornado chasing now is, you know, back in the day, not many people did it, and it was cool to actually be one. And they really did it for the science of it, for the love of weather and trying to make more advanced notice systems and more advanced warning systems for tornadoes. But nowadays, you get people that literally are just risking their lives to get cool photos. You know, the amount of people that you'll see pulled over on the side of a road when there's a tornado just off in the distance, like, it's dangerous now because of the amount of people that are, I want to go get a cool video or a cool picture of this tornado. Like, no, it's not a good thing to do.
It's a terrible idea. So I want to tell you the story. I've been saving it, but I want to tell you the story about when I first met you, my first time being at the studio with you. You had been there a couple of weeks, and I was in doing a spot, and Ryan introduced me to you, and we talked, and I don't know, we were laughing, and everything was fine. And when after the show was over, we were back to hanging out and talking and making silly jokes and being silly or whatever. And you said to me, "Hey, Raw's in Hartford, and I've got extra tickets. Do you want to go to Raw tonight?" And that was the moment I looked at you in the face and I said, "Did we just become best friends? Like, did that just happen? Like, we're just best friends now." I had to work tonight. I couldn't. But the fact that, I mean, you had known me all of 28 minutes and you're like, "Hey, do you want to go to Raw?" I was like, we're best friends. That's awesome. It was hysterical. So, I mean, are you a wrestling fan?
I love it.
I am. Gosh, I can't believe I've done that to so many people, actually. That's
okay,
how
now
I
don't feel special.
Met my husband as well.
Dude, okay, wait, time out. We're going to talk about that, too. But now, like, when I tell you a great story that impacted my life and affected me so much with my friend Ashley, and you open it up with, "I've done that to so many people," that doesn't feel very good. Just letting you know.
No, I mean, not when it comes to wrestling, trust me. But, you know, it brings up how I met my husband. I met him in Springfield when I was working up at the station there.
Right.
And I just met him at a random bar out one night. And I told him I had an extra ticket to a metal concert the next day. And I was like, "Hey, you want to go?" And the next day I was like, "God, did I invite some random person I met the night before to drive 2 hours up to a metal concert?" Well, I guess he knows what he's getting into.
All right, wait. So, first of all, hold on. There's a whole lot of questions.
There's a whole
here.
Lot to digest.
Hold
there,
on.
Yes.
What was the? Who was the show? Who was the concert?
It was my friends from Killswitch Engage.
Great band. Know them very well. And I like how you slipped
Adam
in there,
D
my
is a
friends.
Very good friend of mine.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Okay, so you invite this random guy to go see Killswitch Engage with you. Is he like a metal fan or no?
No, I don't think he was. And I could tell he wasn't because I picked him up. I said, "Well, I'm at least going to drive up there because who knows?" So he got out of the car and I said, "Yeah, he doesn't know where he's really going." He was like,
"How great is she, Jeff? I'm driving. We're going to a metal show."
Or it's with some collared shirt. And I said, "Oh, okay."
<That can't laughs>
and
work.
I'm wearing all black and leather and stuff. So
that's really funny. Wow.
I'm shattering the meteorology world illusion. See, this is where it's like, Ashley Baylor on air and then Ashley Baylor off air.
I think Ashley Baylor on air needs to wear her metal clothes is what I think needs to happen.
Oh, gosh.
This would be the thing. I mean, come on. What are we doing?
Like, yeah.
Let's change it up a little
metal
bit.
Monday.
I had a kid. I don't wear my metal clothes anymore.
Dude, well, she doesn't work on Mondays. What about metal Sundays?
Metal, I mean, it's metal day every day for
metal
me.
Metal church.
And I think that's, you know, kind of what separates me also and why I've been so fortunate to have very loyal viewers is because they need a way to connect to you other than through weather. You know, oftentimes I get, "You're a wrestling fan? Oh, now I definitely need to watch you." Or, "You like metal? That's so cool." They need to be able to connect to you on some other level other than weather. What sets you apart from the other meteorologists?
Yeah, I mean, there's honesty there. That's why. I mean, I dig that. I mean, listen, we didn't really get deep, but and we will get into it deep now. It's not about me, but you know, I went to pro wrestling school in Virginia. I wrestled for Solid Gold Pro Wrestling and Kaida Pro.
And we didn't discuss this in the past because
no, we just didn't. But I'm not sure how much you
hear about this. I need someone that can perform a tornado DDT.
There was a time when I could. I could do a tornado. I'm a little bit big now, but I probably could still do it if we put a ring in. I could teach you. Well, it's interesting because my favorite wrestling program in the world to watch right now is NWA Power, which is now owned by Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins. Are you familiar with this?
I am familiar, yes. Okay. Yes. Which is just a weird clash of worlds. But
yeah, it's amazing. But the show airs on YouTube at 6:05. It's old school 80s style wrestling in a TV studio. And it's so great to watch. It's so fun to watch. But the really, really ironic part, Ashley, is that there's a character on there, I'm not sure if you've seen it, called the Question Mark. Straight up 80s style. He's got a mask on with a question mark. And it looks remarkably like Chef Jeff. And there's,
is this Chef Jeff?
Yeah.
Like, did we just out him?
Well,
I don't know what he's talking about.
We're not going to play this game right now. I even reached out, and I had Aaron Stevens, formerly of the WWE, now with NWA, he tags with the question mark, send me a message that sure seemed like Jeff actually was the question mark. I'm just saying. He doesn't want to talk about it. I get it, but you know, you got to check the show out and then tell me what you think, because I think it's Jeff.
Okay.
I mean, honestly.
It's just like back in the 90s with that big WWE gaffe and Sting introduces the Shockmaster and the mask falls off or something like that. Are we kind of going back to
everything? You're the best. That was such a fun... Dude, Shockmaster was the best. That's amazing. Well, listen,
that I actually was watching it since I was a kid.
No, you got me. You're absolutely right. Absolutely. And the best is Jeff doesn't know anything. He acts like he doesn't like wrestling, but I want you to know today at our shoot all day long, he's wearing Ultimate Warrior glasses that have the built-in face paint. He's wearing them all day.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Well, my ancestors.
Listen, I think it's so fun to talk about this sort of stuff and have someone like you who, I mean, look, I mean, doing what you do, you're a super smart individual, but I think one of the reasons that, you know, we're really kind of digging in here in this conversation that you're finding out why people like you, and like I said, you're very likable on camera, is because you're so honest. I mean, you just were telling us about you like pro wrestling and metal music, which in 2020, people don't just say that shit, you know? And I appreciate that. I think it's awesome.
That's awesome.
I think you can be honest and you know, but not offensive in any way, because you know, wrestling, especially nowadays, is definitely not offensive. If you were to talk back in the Attitude Era, I would say differently,
right.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with metal music. I don't love the stigma that's attached to it, and I have always tried to kind of break people up that, you know, it's not about devil worship and all that stuff. No, I mean, if you really listen to the music, they are some of the most meticulous lyrics, and in my opinion, it's so much better than five people that it took to write some sort of Rihanna song or Nicki Minaj song,
right.
Like metal bands like Killswitch Engage and All That Remains. It's incredible the stuff they write and the lyrics they write and what
musically
they perform. I mean, it's incredible.
I mean, I picked up a guitar and started playing music because of Metallica. I mean, that's why I play guitar, is because of Metallica. And I mean, you listen to even bands like Slayer that, you know, at first listen, you hear a song like South of Heaven or a song like Dead Skin Mask, and it's terrible, but they're telling a story of some shit
that
happened.
They are, in a way. Yes. You know? Yeah, now, I did go to a Slayer concert once, and I will say I wanted to run to church after that with all the upside-down crosses flying.
I'm so glad you said that.
Okay.
Well,
it was a Slayer and Manson concert, actually.
Oh,
and it was funny
worse.
Because once Slayer was done, Manson was on next. And it was just like a mass exodus of people. All the Slayer fans did not care to see Manson. It was
definitely not.
Kind of funny.
That's a terrible lineup. Like, who wants to hear Raining Blood and then hear him like walk around going, yeah, the beautiful people.
Nobody. I don't want to hear that shit.
Crowd. I mean...
I mean, I've definitely seen some weird lineups. The first time I actually saw Killswitch Engage, they were on tour with Dragon Force, and I was like, this does not match. One of these things is not like the other.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, these fans don't really hang out.
Right. Well, it's like, listen, there's a great Jim Brewer bit, and it's the truth, where Jim Brewer's talking about going to see, remember, maybe it was mid-90s or late 90s, Metallica and Guns N' Roses toured together. Do you remember this? Anybody remember this?
Yeah.
And literally, it's...
This might have been a little before I got into that world.
Okay, so literally, you got Guns N' Roses, welcome to the jungle, and long hair, and we're going to swing around, and then you got Metallica, I'm creeping death, and you're just, I mean, it's so different, and Guns N' Roses would come on stage, because Metallica would open, because they didn't give a fuck, Guns N' Roses would come on stage, and people would boo, because they're like, bring back really? Metallica, are you fucking kidding me? Ugh, and I don't hate Guns N' Roses,
definitely a different energy.
It doesn't work. It just didn't work.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. I was just talking about Guns N' Roses the other day to somebody and saying, you know, I wish I at some point had been able to see Guns N' Roses, you know, in the 80s and 90s when they were really big and
right.
incredible, you know, around the Appetite for Destruction era.
Sure. I got to see...
taking me to that show.
Well, I went to... In D.C., I got to go to the Metallica Guns N' Roses show, and they were open for... Their opener was one of my favorite bands of all time. Faith No More was the opener. And honestly, I didn't really give a shit about Guns N' Roses. They were terrible. They came out, they played like an hour, and people were pissed, and Metallica came back out and played like another 45 minutes, and then Faith No More and Metallica came out and performed together. It was so dope, and it's just one of those shows that, you know, it sticks with you forever. I mean, I don't know. Metallica want to come out and play music. Guns N' Roses want to come out and wear top hats and dance like a snake on stage. Like, who, shut up, you know?
I got it. Boy, that had to be a show.
It was awesome. It was awesome. Listen, we've kind of gone all over the place here talking to you. You're really fun to talk to and easy to talk to about that. I had no idea you had such a metal connection, which is really cool. When you it's pretty, literally, you should go out there wearing your gear you go to a show with to do, like, you know, Metal Sundays or something. It would be so fun.
Well, I kind of did that. You know, when I was up working in Western Massachusetts, I would go to metal shows, whether it was in Western Mass or even down here in Connecticut. And sometimes, especially up in Western Mass, I'd get recognized and people would be like, don't you do the weather? And I was like, yeah. And they just don't expect it. I mean, it's really, really unexpected. And, you know, I'm a weird mix. You know, I like weather. I like metal music. I like wrestling. But I also enjoy golf. So...
Oh my God.
I'm like Alice Cooper because I hear he loves golf, and obviously he's from.
Yeah, all I want to do is write a bunch of catchphrases for you. So when people say to you, wait, don't you do the weather? And you keep like, yes, I do. It's raining rock. And just throw up devil horns and walk away.
Yes. Now, Cooper, make my tattoos melt in the heat.
I do the weather, and right now it's a tornado of rock. And just walk away. This is terrible.
That's a dad joke.
I am a dad. What do you want from me? It's the way it goes. Speaking of being a dad, you're a mom. You have a daughter, right?
Yes, Morgan.
And how old is she?
She's about to be 2 at the end of the month. January.
It's just one, though, right?
January 26th. One, technically, yes. About to be 2. Definitely is the attitude of a 2-year-old right now.
Oh, wow. I thought you meant about to be 2 kids. That's one kid. That's
No. Oh, my gosh. Oh, boy. See, this is how rumors get started. So, everybody's going to be looking at me tomorrow. Now I'm not going to be able to wear any sort of, like, form-fitting dress because they're going to be looking.
Rock meteorologist Ashley Baylor pregnant with number 2.
Oh, God.
It's going to be a hailstorm, like, of babies.
Who did this?
Oh my God. So she's 2, and being a mom is definitely a hard thing to do, no doubt about it. I have 3 myself. Jeff has 2. We all have daughters. I'm telling you right now, Ash, just wait till they hit about 12 and they don't even breathe. They just talk.
I unfortunately remember being 12, 13, 14, and if you don't like 12, I promise you won't like 13.
That's not making me feel better.
You won't, because then it gets into the uncomfortable stuff. I suppose that kind of starts at 12, but my husband actually has a 14-year-old from a previous marriage.
Oh, okay.
So when she started turning, you know, 12, I said, look, you're going to have to recognize the fact that she is going to change and there's going to be things that you notice and you don't want to have to talk about, but it is what it is.
Wow. I mean, this conversation has been everywhere tonight.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, this is kind of what you get with me.
That's why it's amazing. 5 years from now, where do you see yourself? What do you want to do? Do you still want to be in Connecticut? Do you want to move on to New York? Like, do the market number one, or what's next?
No, gosh, no. I don't see myself going to New York. I would probably entertain it, but I don't see myself living and working in New York City. In fact, I was like, gosh, how do people even have babies in New York? Obviously they do, but I'm like, do you just put their car seats in a cab or something?
Oh,
you know,
right.
it's not for me. I want to have a house with an actual backyard and everything like that. So my hope was to come to Connecticut and this would really be it, because I'm kind of sick of moving. It's 13 years of doing nothing but moving every couple of years. So right now, actually, I'm looking for a house. We're just renting a spot for now, because when I moved here, I really want to decide, where do I want to settle down in Connecticut? Do I want to be somewhere along 91? Do I want to be at the shoreline?
Come to Newtown. Come live with us in Newtown.
Newtown wouldn't be too bad. It's a little farther out than I want to travel.
For God's sakes. It's 35 minutes to your studio.
Territory. You know what, originally, I lived in Stratford, Connecticut very, very briefly in 2007, actually.
Right.
I lived in Stratford because I was dating somebody that was from Monroe, Connecticut. So, unfortunately, going up through Trumbull, Monroe, Newtown, all of that area, and Shelton, it's like...
Ooh, bad memories.
I remember this territory, and I don't know if I like it.
Jeez.
Brings back interesting memories.
Well, we hope you certainly stick around. You've got a great group over there, some really, really great people who work at TNH. I love Joyce very much. I love Gil. He's a good friend. I just talked to him a couple days ago, actually. He's a legit meteorologist. That guy's good, right?
Oh, Gil's incredible. I've been friendly with Gil for many years, even before I came to Connecticut. And he's a great meteorologist. Joe Fury, literally one of the nicest, most genuine people you could ever meet. And Sam Cantro is amazing. I've been very fortunate through my entire weather career, no matter where I've been, to always work with fantastic meteorologists. And this station's no exception. I really love all the meteorologists I work with. And a lot of people at the station I've worked with previously in Western Massachusetts. Even my assistant news director, Nicole, she was my producer in Western Mass when I started there. So, and Joyce was a producer when I was in Western Mass too. So I've known Joyce for many, many years.
She's great.
And yeah, and everybody at 8 is fantastic. And Laura Hutchinson, another one I've known her for about 10 years. She was actually one of my bridesmaids in my wedding.
Oh, wow. How about that?
Oh, it's like I've really come home. And I feel like that's where I am. I'm finally home. I'm finally where I belong. And so that's why I can't imagine myself picking up and moving to New York City. It's just like, no, I'm enjoying where I am and what's going on here.
Man, that's fantastic. That's awesome. I love that story. I love that you're here. You do a great job, and I think you've got a lot of room to do something special here and become a mainstay in people's homes here when it comes to weather. Because when you're on, I watch you, and you know, I see it. No, you do a great job, and we appreciate it. You're really fun to talk to. We want to make you the official meteorologist for our show. So when there's problems, we're going to call you. Okay.
Oh, goody.
All right, really quick.
Problems, gripes, concerns.
Well, generally, I think I've actually blamed you for weather before on social media. I'm like, God damn it, Ashley, why is this happening?
I believe it. Yeah, that often happens, and I just refer to Gil, and I said, well, he's the chief, he controls it. Duh.
It's his fault. I've blamed Gil before too. It's pretty funny. I've texted him. I'm like, this is your fault.
Oh, because he loves the snow. If it is snowing and blizzard and nor'easter, he's thrilled.
I know.
But when it's sweltering hot, then that's my fault, because I like the heat and humidity.
Well, listen, let me ask you, so give us a tip for chefs. Listen, it's chefs specifically, Jeff and I, we make dick jokes and cook food. We're not really good at much else. We want to become amateur meteorologists. What's a tip you could give us, something that we could go outside and, like, do a great party trick with? Like, oh, look at this, you guys. It's going to rain today. How do you know? Well, let me tell you. Like, what would be a really good amateur thing that we could do that you could teach us in, like, 20 seconds?
Okay, well, have you ever been out, have you ever seen a sun dog? Which is, you know, if you look at the sun and you look to the right or the left, you see a little rainbow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, those are called sun dogs. It's kind of a piece of a halo that's actually around the sun.
Terrible
and
name.
And that's that's created basically from the cirrus clouds way, way high in the atmosphere. So the sunlight refracts off the ice crystals within those cirrus clouds. So that's what creates those little rainbows. And usually when we start to see those halos, whether it be around the sun or around the moon, you get those high thin clouds and usually you get a kind of a storm that follows behind it. It's kind of the clouds leading up to a bigger event. So there's a little weather knowledge for you. Wow. I know why those rainbows exist. I know what they're called and I know why they're there.
Wow. I just learned something, Jeffy. Did you hear that?
Me too. Yeah, I can't wait to lay that on my kids.
Right? I can't wait to tell them. Stuff. See those little weird rainbows? That means a hurricane's coming. Ashley told me.
Those are sun dogs.
Maybe not necessarily a hurricane, but...
Well, I like to make it dramatic, you know.
Oh, okay. See, this is why I allow other people to hype stuff. I'm going to back away from the hype.
You're so funny. Listen, it's so much fun talking to you. I appreciate you taking the time. I know you have to be up in 26 minutes to go to work. we appreciate
it's
you.
It's all worth it, dude.
Listen, here's the best part. Like, I feel like this is an ongoing relationship now. Like, you're going to be back on here again, talking about weather, hanging out with us, and this is kind of getting to know you, which is great for listeners and for Jeffy and I. So we really appreciate your time tonight. But seriously, it means a lot.
Oh, no, I'm happy to do it. Yeah, we covered a lot of bases tonight. Yeah, it's like, you know, I think we need to delve deeper into the love of wrestling. And
oh, God. We set the table. That's what we did. We set the table. It's nice. I like it. So...
the tables!
We're putting bitches to tables, Jeffy. Are you ready? We all know you're the question mark, too, Jeff. You watch
it. It's a Dudley Brothers reference for those that don't know.
That's right. Ashley, I'm going to text you later a picture of the question mark, and you're going to tell me it looks like Jeff. I'm going to text you side by side. I'm telling you.
Is it like the question mark, but it's really the guy that played Hurricane back in the day or something?
Listen,
like
I can't confirm or deny any of that. It could be a guy
named
Josephus or it could be Jeff.
I don't know who Hurricane is.
Well,
he was a really goofy character back in the day.
Like Tugboat, right? And Earthquake? It was Earthquake. And then when he went to WCW, he became...
The truth. I remember Earthquake. What about Bam Bam Bigelow? He was the
Beast. Gosh.
The Beast, yes. From the East.
Love that guy. He had the flames on his head. I wanted to get flames on my head for a short period of time because of him.
Resting. Probably better you didn't.
Yeah.
Super glad I didn't.
That would have been a very terrible morning when you woke up. What the fuck did I do?
Oh, list of bad decisions just keeps growing and growing.
Wait, Ashley, who's your favorite pro wrestler back in the day and then today?
Oh, gosh. Back in the day, I'd really have to say Shawn Michaels because I've liked Shawn Michaels since, you know, the Marty Jannetty days.
Good choice.
And then God, Attitude Era. Everybody loves Stone Cold. Mm-hmm. I loved DX. I really did. Their whole invasion, which happened in Hampton and Norfolk, Virginia.
You probably remember
back in the early 90s.
For those of you who don't know what happened was there was two companies, WWE, WCW, Jeff, I'll make it short and sweet, and they were in the same town. And so DX, D-Generation X, was the group of a particular wrestlers who were kind of like, you know, buck the system sort of thing. At the time, WCW was beating WWF in the ratings, and so the WWF guys from DX rented this like army jeep with a cannon on it and tried to storm WCW's show while it was happening. They wanted to go inside and they wouldn't let him in.
I mean, it was incredible. It was really a great moment.
What a fun time, right?
Yeah, and that was the Attitude Era, and that's what made it so incredible. But nowadays, who would I say nowadays? It's so different now. I do like Drew McIntyre.
Wow.
I do like Dolph Ziggler.
Okay.
He's kind of gone all over the place, but I do like him.
Very Shawn Michaels-esque.
I really like Ricochet. I think Ricochet is a good up-and-comer.
Dude, Ricochet's an animal.
He's fantastic to watch.
No doubt about it.
They don't all jump to AEW, you know, we've seen that happening.
They just signed a new contract 3 years. They're going to be on until 2023 at least.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big Samoa Joe fan. I love Samoa Joe. I think he's the man.
I love Kevin Owens. I will say I love Kevin Owens.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I mean, of course. Of course. And then, of course, back in the day, I am a huge Dusty Rhodes fan. And a quick fun story, before I would do national TV a couple of years ago, Ash, I would watch Dusty Rhodes promos from old Mid-South Championship Wrestling because he was one of the best talkers ever to walk the planet. And I would watch promos by him, and then I would go live on the Hallmark Channel in front of the entire world.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Dusty Rhodes was the fucking man. There's no doubt about it. I could talk wrestling with you. We should do a wrestling podcast and have Jeffy there.
I would love to do that.
Yeah.
A wrestling podcast?
Oh, my God, because I would learn something about it. I'm so lost, and I like, if you asked me my old and new wrestler, I would say, like, George Animal Steel and The Rock.
Oh, gosh. It's like everybody had to love The Rock. I mean, you want to talk one of the best talkers on the microphone. Mm-hmm. God, it would have to be The Rock.
Absolutely.
The eyebrow. I still want to smell what he's cooking.
I was a big Hardy Boys fan, too. I love
the
Hardys.
Maybe that should really be your thing.
Yeah, right?
I'm going to let you know what The Rock is cooking.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to show you what The Rock is cooking, all right? listen, Ashley, it's so much fun to talk to you. I look forward to catching up with you down the road. When you go to work tomorrow, make sure you ask your producers, hey, where's Plum been? And just see what they say. I'm curious to see.
I'm going to have to ask Joyce.
I'm going to text you so you have my cell phone number and at least whatever. You can come back on the show, hang out. You're the best. I love talking to you. You're so fun. And you're doing a fantastic job being like a meteorologist and doing your thing. So please keep it up. And we look forward to hopefully keeping you around here forever.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course, 100%. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you on down the road, okay? Oh, Jeff, give her a plug one more time so people can find out where they can see Ashley.
Absolutely. You want to check our friend Ashley Baylor on Instagram.
What's wrong? What happened to your voice?
Meteorologist Ash Baylor.
All right.
What?
There you go.
What? You don't like my voice?
No, it got weird.
Well, I was trying to get everyone's attention.
Oh, all right. Well, try again.
Jazz it up. I was trying to jazz it up.
Jeff has had a lot to take in tonight.
I've had Jeff going at 110 miles an hour since early this morning, so he's over me talking to him.
No, I love it. I love it. There's so much information that about everything. I wanted to chime in so many times. Like, I really think that we should set up a Channel 8 wrestling, like Royal Rumble style.
Oh,
and I think Ash will dominate, and I think we can get her a belt.
Yeah,
she would win.
We know that Tornado DDT would be my finishing move.
What would you call it? What would you call it?
Tornado DDT needs to keep the name Tornado DDT.
You think?
DDT.
I don't know.
I think so.
I think you should call it...
a badass name. I'm just going to say the DDT alone scares me, so I don't even know what a tornado... I'm sure it's a spinny one.
I would call it the Ashnado.
The what? The Ash what?
The Ashnado.
Ashnado.
The Ashnado DDT.
That could work. But then I don't want anybody being like, you mean like Sharknado? No, nothing like that.
No. Well, kind of, because it's like a bunch of sharks hit you. That's you can't get up. All right, Ashley, I'm going to finish this, and then we'll get you out of here. Listen, when I was a wrestler, I was the chef. The company I worked for, you had to be two characters, a heel and a baby face. It means a good guy and a bad guy. I'm a 6'3", 250-pound guy, and my heel character was called El Tambor Loco, the Drunken Luchador. And I would do a really busted-ass moonsault off the top rope as my finisher, and when I was my heel character. When I was the face, I was the chef, and I literally wore chef pants and a chef coat that I would tear off. My finisher was called the main course. I would give the kick to the gut, like Stone Cold used to do the kick to the gut, and then I would do like the check please sign, and then I would throw him up on the shoulder, and we would drop straight down, like in almost like an Emerald Driver from like New Japan Wrestling, and that was my finisher.
Oh, I love the check please thing.
Yeah, check
That's
please.
That's awesome.
Hit the main course on him. Check please.
I love that.
Keep on playing games, and trust me, when I get in the ring, I'm going to cook your ass.
Whoa.
Let's see you try and weather this storm.
Oh, there you go. Oh. That's my tag team partner right there. You better get some. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, man.
There it is. You guys, make
sure
you check out.
It could be a wrestling tagline, or it could be a housewives tagline.
Well, when you've been married as long as I have, those taglines don't happen anymore. You can check out our good friend Ashley. She's the best. Make sure you find her on WTNH. She's kicking it over there. And, of course, on her Instagram at Ash Baylor.
Meteorologist Ash Baylor.
On Instagram. Make sure you check her out there. Ash, we appreciate your time. You're the best to talk to. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
You're very welcome. Go get some rest. You're going to be at work in 8 minutes. Hurry up. We'll talk to you later, all right?
All right, bye.
All right, take care. There she goes. Meteorologist Ashley Baylor joined the program. That conversation, Jeffy, went a whole bunch of different ways that I could never have banked on.
I did not see half of that coming.
You and me both. It was the best. She is my favorite person.
Can I tell you my favorite part?
Please.
My favorite part is her love of hurricanes.
It's awesome.
Like, when she started talking about hurricanes, she lit up the way, like, when I start talking about a dish that I think about that makes me happy. She was literally like, yeah, and then I would, like, take news clippers and hurricanes, and I had hurricanes in my bedroom, and there's hurricanes, and I loved them so much. And I was like, what?
Oh.
That was amazing. I love the fact that she loved hurricanes, and it led to her becoming a meteorologist.
I mean, it's just the best. I love when you find somebody who's passionate about something, but, you know, what really I
thought was... She's so passionate and so smart, dude. She, every time you asked her a question, she would answer a million questions about it. She was amazing.
I love talking to her.
I love her. She's like my new favorite meteorologist. I wish I lived in Connecticut so I could watch her.
Dude, it's just fun. And she really is. She's actually fantastic on camera. She does a fantastic job. And I mean, she really is. I wasn't kidding. Like, she's just very likable to watch, which is that's not easy to always do, as you're learning.
You can go to a metal show and hang out, and she knows every band probably better than you. And
yeah, right.
You know, and she's like, I don't even know. I mean, the people that she was naming in the wrestling there is triple hurricane drops and DDT monk.
It's a tornado. DDT.
That's like Greek. You know, I don't. Who did the tornado DDT?
Whose Lots move of people. Was that? Rey Mysterio would do that move. Lots of people do a tornado DDT.
Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, Chavo Guerrero used it as a finisher for years.
Really.
Yeah. It's where you go to the top rope, you put their head like in that front face headlock, so their face is front facing you, and then you would basically spin off the ropes a circle, like that the person would make a circle, and you would take them down head first.
Oh, man. Yeah. Has anyone ever trademarked a finishing move where they would like get mad if somebody else used it?
It kind of goes without saying. You don't use somebody else's finisher.
Yeah, but like, could that start like beef? Like, could we start a war with like wrestlers if we just went around and started like doing their finishing moves, and I called myself the Mimic?
Taskmaster, like in Marvel.
Well, yeah, but I can't do that because then that's for being sued purposes. I don't want to fuck with Marvel. They got money.
That's true. It would just depend, I guess, on how you want to do it. But it's possible. You could do that. No one's ever done it. Certain finishing moves have been used.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Did you just say no one's ever done it?
Like just use other people's finishing moves?
Just straight out, like, you come out of the gate and you just, like, even when you're going to wrestle them, you dress like them when you come to the wrestling match.
Wow, you just take their whole gimmick.
Yeah, you just try to, like, doppelganger them. The doppelganger.
Wow, the doppelganger. That's hysterical. Well... I'm not really sure how I feel about that, Jeffy. The doppelganger. I mean, of all the names that you could pick to call somebody, I don't really know how much that name fits what we're talking about here. I mean, it does definitely mean like you're copying somebody, you're doing what they're doing, but it's a long name to spell when you're a pro wrestling fan. Doppelganger.
Oh man, that was trippy.
Yeah, I know.
Doppelganger, I think, was one very powerful magic card.
Like in the game? Now you're bringing up magic cards. Listen, all I know is this.
Whoa. I'm just saying people will connect with the name because of magic. I think some wrestling fans probably played magic.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't think wrestling fans read very much.
What?
Yeah, I just don't think they do. What? Wow. Who saw this coming? Holy shit. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, joined by our good friend Dave. Dave, how are you, buddy?
Yo, what's going on?
Just getting ready to finish the show up here. You got here a little late.
Yeah, I just got in from Philly.
Oh, fresh off the boat.
Boss. Off the boat from Philly. All 92 miles
fresh
away that it
the
was.
Boat from Philly, smelling like a million bucks.
Dave, for a meteorologist, like, I didn't expect any of that conversation to go any of those directions. How cool was that?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I have a feeling like she listens to Cannibal Corpse while looking at like hurricane footage projected on her wall.
Like, that's probably true. Actually, it's not a bad assumption. I think that's probably true. Well, listen, next week, Mohegan Sun Food and Wine Festival happens. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to do some records, some interviews, have a great time. Dave's going to be there in the house helping out our good friends over at Ergo Chef. It's going to be a great weekend, man. Looking forward to it a lot. Dave, how about you?
Yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be a fun time.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
One of our favorite events of the year. All of our good brothers are going to be there. It's official, too. Chef Dan is competing in the brunch challenge. He got the confirmation email yesterday.
That's what's up.
So it should be a lot of fun, man. Well, listen.
You know, if you can get up there, don't sleep on it. Get up there.
Yeah, no doubt.
Me and your boy Plum are going to be throwing down with the Hendrix Gin. It's going to be amazing. Come see us.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be a lot of fun. Celebrity Chef Dining Around. Check it out. Go to Mohegan Sun. You can see what's up. We're really excited about it. It's a fun event. All the good brothers are going to be there. Myself, Jeff, Dave, Dan. Everyone's going to be there hanging out. It should be a lot of fun. Raising hell is what we're going to do. And you know what else we're going to do? We're going to bring our friend Ashley with us. She's going to be our meteorologist friend who hangs out. So far, let's just do a recap or head count, if you don't mind. We have a meteorologist friend. We have Dave. We have David Weatherly, one of the best cryptozoologists on the planet. We have a psychic medium, Patty Griffin, who's also one of our friends. Our staple, or our stable, as we say in professional wrestling, is growing day by day. I love it.
Absolutely. I mean, we're affiliated loosely with Homeland Security.
That's true.
There's a lot of things going on behind the scenes that people don't even know about that we're plugged into, and we're doing it for the people.
For the people. That's what we do. Well, listen, if you haven't done so yet, please make sure you follow our guest tonight, Ashley Baylor. She's fantastic. Follow her on Instagram. Dave, did you follow her yet?
Not yet. I'm about to do it right now.
Yeah, make sure you follow her. Meteorologist Ash Baylor on Instagram. She's fantastic. Tell her you heard her on the show. Hey, we heard you on the show. You were great. And hopefully we can get her to be our official meteorologist here on the program. That's what I want. I want official meteorologist. Definitely. I want official.
If you're in a metal band, send her your demo.
Dude, she's signing metal bands right now. You don't even know. She's got a big show she's putting together.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I made all that up, but it should be cool.
Ash Baylor Record.
That's right.
It sounds metal.
Yeah, I think so. It does kind of sound metal, doesn't it?
Ash Baylor Records.
Are you a metal band? Metal. Then come see Ashley Baylor.
Shut up, dummy.
All right, sorry. I'm a little excited. I don't know. I was going
to
run the
game. Why don't we do plugs like that? That's how I want to start doing the plugs.
If they really want a real plug, we can't do that.
That is a real plug, bro.
Is it?
Think about it. Nobody does plugs like that, so people are going to remember that plug.
I don't know. Let's go to the, basically the pulse of the nation, our good friend Dave. Dave, would that make sense?
I'll fuck with it. It sounds good.
All right. Well, maybe I'm wrong.
See? Dave's the homie.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get on down the road here. We appreciate you guys checking out the podcast. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Make sure you also follow our good friend Ashley Baylor on Instagram, at meteorologist Ash Baylor. Follow her there. Please rate, review, and subscribe. And hopefully we'll see you guys next week at the Mohegan Sun. Come down, say what's up, say hello. I know the tickets are expensive. I don't have a promo code this year. I wish I did. But come see us. Still, we'll have a great show for you guys next Thursday, and we look forward to all those things. And, of course, tomorrow, most importantly, don't forget, check out Episode 2, Elite Chef, on Facebook. It airs tomorrow, 9 a.m. We are hanging out making pizza. It's going to be so much fun. You got to check it out. The episode's great. We're very proud of all of them. Yeah, that's about all we got. Jeff, what else are we plugging? Is that it?
What else are we plugging? That's it, I think. That's it. I mean, we had an exciting week. Make sure you check out the Elite Chef that's coming out tomorrow morning.
Yeah, that's what I was just talking about. Check it out. It's going to be a great show. We're hanging out making pizza. A lot of great chefs. Six chefs remain. You got to get on there and check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You'll never see what's coming. Every show is going to make you really, really not. You're not going to know. It's going to be awesome.
Get on there, man. The train is running, and you got to get on there and check it out. In the meantime, and in between time, Thank you guys for checking out Plum Love Foods Live. We'll see you guys next week. And remember, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's make sure we give the time it deserves. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.
From the Tower of Power, too sweet to be sour, I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.